Because I think what I'm going to do is kind of share my heart. And you probably won't find a good outline. But man, I sure hope you find the truth that I'm trying to get across. Because I believe we're living in the last days. I believe that Christ is coming. And I believe that it might be harder nowadays than it might have been before. Maybe not. But to have a godly family. But God has given us ways that we can do it. And He has done it and has allowed an adversary in our life. And that adversary is Satan himself. And he would love to destroy your home. He would love to destroy your life. And we need to look at that just for a little while this afternoon. So let's bow our heads and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, please guide and direct us. I'm so thankful for our missionaries. I'm thankful, Lord, that while you're working in Marion, Indiana, you're working right here in this church. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're working in Memphis. I'm thankful, Lord, you work in the Philippines and Japan and China and all around the world. And Lord, right now I'm a little selfish. I want you to work really strong here. And Holy Spirit, without your help, this meeting is just a meeting. So God, I pray that you would direct and use me and fill me with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the powers thereof. What's the next statement, class? From such what? From such turn away. See, every one of those issues deals with relationships. If you believe that we are living in the last days, then some of these people who have wrecked and ruined lives will be affecting you. And who knows? Maybe even infiltrators. Maybe they'll try to work their way into your homes. Maybe they'll try to work their ways in your church. Maybe they'll try to work their way into your husband's life or your wife's life. Years ago in Cincinnati, I had a lady who was demonized in my church. And she came in and she was passing out name cards that she bought from a Christian bookstore. And she handed all those cards to the people and said, I'm praying for you. And as a witch, she cursed every one of those cards. And it played havoc in our church. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, a curse causeless shall not come. And so that's true. But if there's a reason for a curse to land, it lands until it's dealt with. We're living in a time where we're living in the last days. And if we're living in the last days, then you have to understand that there is going to be testing in our lives, and there is going to be timing for God, timing or Satan to work, or there is going to be, what does our testimony say? It's going to happen. You say, preacher, I'm not convinced yet. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says this. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what class? From the what class? So some shall depart from the faith. What? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now we're going to stop there, but it says, in the last days, men will depart from the faith. And when they depart from the faith, they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you know what that means? It's mean like, you know, when I left from Marion, Indiana, I departed from Marion, Indiana. I live in Marion. That's my hometown. I'm departing from Marion, Indiana, but I will go back. And you can't depart from something if you've never been there. And he's talking about that people who will depart from the faith. So they had the faith, and then they departed from it. So it's not dealing with unsaved people. It's dealing with saved people. It's people who believe the Word of God. It's people who sat in the pew. It's people who've had godly homes. It's people who have lived righteously and holy and been examples. And what have they done? They've given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I can prove to you over and over. I've been trained in warfare physically with the Army. And when I got out of the Army, I didn't understand. When I was in Cincinnati and we had all this struggle, I went to a preacher, a well-known preacher. He told me, I don't believe that. Just tell the little green people to go away. So I had to turn to my Bible and read it and say, what does the Bible say about the enemy? And I read it, and I studied it, and I comprehended it, and God used me. I had to understand it. And we are living in the last days, and most people don't even recognize it, but the Bible says they will depart from the faith, and they will give heed to wicked spirits. And they will give in to where I can tell you, good night. So many people had Harry Potter in their house and watched things like that and thought it was okay. And they are allowing the wickedness in their homes, and the relationships are all going to break down, and they will, and spirits lay dormant at times. And then when they find that reason to raise their ugly head up, they raise their ugly head. And Christians are in the dark about it. But in the last days, men will depart from the faith. They will turn from what they hung on to. And they'll depart from it. And they'll speak lies. They'll do all kinds of things that are wrong. And the reason is they are giving heed to the enemy. And then they walk in the situation with everything that was just said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you just can't, it shocks us. It bothers our minds so much. And so our relationship with Christ is so strong. It has to be so strong. We have to have that fellowship with Christ so that we recognize that which is evil and hold fast to that which is good. And sometimes it means, yes, it means that we are to be a peculiar people. Sometimes we need to just say, we're not doing that. Sometimes we need to say, let's stop that. Sometimes we need to say, hush up, I don't listen to that. Because it will affect us. It will affect our mind. It will affect our will. It will affect our emotions. It will affect our bodies. And what happens is our relationships get broken down. And Satan builds a division, a wall of division between us and the people that we love so dearly. Have you ever argued with a loved one? And you're arguing with them, and they don't even look like they're listening. It's like they don't understand. It's like they got this blank look on their face. In America, we say it's like talking to a brick wall. And you wonder, what in the world's going on? And what's going on is Satan is bringing about a division. It's like all of a sudden anger comes up. And people are mad. And it's over what? Small things. It's because Satan has allowed, and you've allowed, things in our life and in our hearts that we don't get. We have unresolved issues. And when we have unresolved issues, the relationship breaks down between Christ, because Satan would love to bring that division between Christ and a believer. He would like to bring a division between the church and the home. He'll bring a division in some brothers and sisters fighting for like no reason or over the smallest things. Husbands and wife not communicating. Why? Because there's a division there. And Satan so often allows all these things in our mind and in our heart. See, the Bible talks about all these things are going to happen at the end. So the time there will be a test, these things will take place. You just don't know when. When I was in the military, we were all dressed up in our greens, had the black boots on. We all looked alike. We looked like one happy family. And every day we'd go for one lesson and another lesson, and we'd march and we'd get rides in nice green trucks, and we'd go all over and we'd do some speed marches, and we'd all walk together and everything, and we learned how to shoot, how to fight, how to do all these things. And one time we had a class and it was all on the gas mask. And they said, you'll be tested on it. You will face it for chemical warfare. And so there will be a day that you will be tested. So listen today. I remember a soldier, he was playing around, as always. Oh, by the way, he played around on the rifle range, shot his best friend in the head. Because he's playing around. It wasn't real to him. See, what we're saying is true. So he was playing around. He didn't worry about the test. And so we kept going from one thing to another, and I'm really trying to cut a story short. And then they just stopped us off one day at the gas chamber. And we had to put it on in 1, 2, 3, 4 seconds. I still remember. And if you did not put it on in 4 seconds, in four counts, the gas was going to come and you were going to be affected by it. I'm thinking, is this real? And they said, it's real. I said, Sarge. I said, drill sergeant, is this real? He says, it's real. And so I practiced. I practiced when no one else was practicing. I didn't want to be gassed. And I knew what it'd do because they told us. I listened in class. Because the test is going to come. And it came to the test. We all marched in this gas chamber. And as we got in the gas chamber, there was a drill sergeant who said, this is how you put on your mask. And I'm saying, you already told us that. He said, this is what's going to happen. And next thing you know, they turn it on. And we're not allowed to move yet. Till someone hollers gas. Well, I mean, it's right there. No one was hollering gas. The drill sergeant wanted someone to say gas. Otherwise, we're all going to be standing there. And I'm going, gas! I'm ripping that out. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm fine, man. And then he said, just look around. And the guy playing around was rolling on the floor. Jerking uncontrollably. Stuff coming out of his mouth. He was affected by the gas because it's real. And here comes someone and they take this and they take this pin and they shove it right in his leg. And in a matter of minutes, he at least stopped doing what he was doing. They took him to the hospital because it's real. You know, how many times when you read the Bible, you find out that there's God and there's Satan. There's heaven and there's hell. There's righteousness. There's unrighteousness. There's wicked living. There's righteous living. Do you understand? It's real. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring take us home, and we're going to be caught up together to be with Him. But His last days, Satan is fighting like crazy. And he's got all these people who are affected, and Christians are living among them, and they're not standing up, they're not quoting scriptures, they're not giving the gospel out, they're not being what they ought to be, and their families are being infected, and it's taught in our schools to accept it. And God is saying no. We have to understand that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. We're put on the whole armor of God and stand in the evil day and do all to stand. I carry a reminder in my pocket that it is a battle. And it's raging, and I must be a good soldier every day. Or all the people that I am trying to have a relationship will be affected. Sir, would you go get me those arrows right over there, please? When I was in the military, just before camp, just before Vietnam was over, Cambodia got really hot. And our company was called out. And when I was called out to get all loaded up, I looked like I was ready for war. I had a radio on my back. I had an M16. I carried a .45. I had another gun. I had a radio on the front. I had ammunition down one leg, ammunition down another. And I had some right here because if someone was going to kill me, I wanted to kill them. And I wanted to kill them faster. Because I wanted to make sure if they're willing for me to die for my country, I'm willing to live for mine. And I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. I don't like fights. But when we were loading up on the helicopter, we were getting ready to go. And I was going to do everything I could to stand and to fight. And we're living in the last days. And I prepared for something. And I want you to look, if you will, to one more portion of scripture. And I'll be done on time. I want you to look in Psalms. Chapter 127. Psalms 127, verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Psalms 127, verse 3, 4, and 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. If God wants to reward me, I want Him to be able to reward me. I don't want to stop what His reward is. Why would I do that? When I say to all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, I mean that. Because if God is wanting to reward us and God wants to help us, then that's what we need. And Christians are not doing well on that. Look at the results. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When I was all loaded up to go to Cambodia, I had all the ammunition I needed to wage a fight. I would have never thought to get on that helicopter with one gun and one bullet. I would have never got on that helicopter with one gun and four bullets. Because I'm in a war. And we are living in the last days, and there is a war. But Christians have not had many children. And we're going against God's word. And years ago, I can remember back in 1983, I yielded my body, my wife's body, we yielded it to the Lord. And said, "Dear God, we'll have as many children as you allow." And a man is blessed if he has his quiver full. I've got an arrow for my wife and I, one for 9 kids. And one for 4, for 5 in-laws in my quiver. I would never go with just 1 or 2. I wouldn't want to lose any. And then God began to bless. One arrow for every grandchild. And one in there for the one that's not born yet till December. People, we're living in the last days. Every one of those are worth fighting for. When I came here, I was praying through the spiritual warfare. And I said, "Dear God, I'm here as a soldier for me, for my wife, for my family, for my church. For your church and for Canada. Someone has got to fight the battles. Because the test is going to come. It will come. There will be time. And we all have testimonies to keep. Am I going to be the soldier that God wants me to be? Are you, Dad? Are you going to be the soldier God wants you to be? Are you, Mom? How about you, young men? It's your strength. You're not exempt, young ladies. You're not exempt. We're all to be good soldiers. We're all to put on the armor of God. My prayer is, you're going to battle in relationships in these last days. Your relationship, Christ, is the strongest one you need to have. And then be willing to stand as a good soldier. Let's bow our heads and pray.